Well, greetings and God bless you in the wonderful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the great words that we're about to hear. I thank you for each and every person on the receiving end to prepare their hearts to receive the truths that you have for them. And I thank you, Father, for your word being in my mouth and for just guiding and inspiring the words that you want to have spoken to your church today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your peace. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, a very familiar verse, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in yourself. No. In your superior attitude. No. In your money. No. Be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of His might. It is so important for us to know the power of His might, to live a life of faith and trust and believing. Because we need the Lord's strength every day of our life. And right now, in the times in which we live, we probably need it more than ever. And it tells us here, verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God, all the implements we need, all the nine manifestations, all the promises that we need to claim, to stand against the purposes, the contest of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able. Without the armor of God, honey, we're not even able to stand against the wiles of the diablos, the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. A lot of times it looks like what's happening in your personal life or in the political life or in the world life is people. It never is just people. It is spirits. And people are either being motivated by the spirit of the true God or the spirit of the devil and his demons. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And wrestling is a contact sport. You're in it. It's rough. It's tumble. It smells. You're in it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this current world, age, ion, against spiritual nice guys. Nope. Wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor, that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Do you think there's a message here? God knows that we're living in evil days before Christ returns, and He tells us here to stand, withstand, stand, and stand. And the only way we're able to do that is with His power operating in our lives. Today, Satan is rampant, and the hearts of men and women are waxing colder and colder. But the spiritual battle that goes on all the time is a battle for the affection of the hearts of men and women for the one true God. The battle that goes on in our life every day is to put anything else in front of God in our own personal priorities. And every day, we are to be prepared. What I like to say, you know, is getting up and not putting on the whole armor and keeping it on throughout the day would be like getting up and going to work and walking out your front door naked, as they say in the South, with no clothes on. Would you even think of going to your office not fully clothed? No, and that's just your physical clothing. Why would you even think of going through your day without your spiritual clothing? Why would you even think of going through your day without your spiritual covering? The armor of God. And so every day we need to be prepared. You know why? Because we know not when our Lord cometh. There's a lot of talk about the end times. People, they could be right. It could be any day now. And we better start living like that. Luke chapter 12, And in verse 15, and Jesus was talking to the crowd, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. You know, there used to be that bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys wins. And then somebody else came back with a competing bumper sticker that says, he that dies without Christ still loses. Truth. And so he told them a parable about a rich man who had all this good stuff. In verse 17, he thought within himself, saying, what can I do? I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Well, wouldn't you have thought if he was a godly person, his first thought was if he had all that good stuff, he would share it with people? No. He said, I'm going to build barns, bigger barns and greater barns, and there will I bestow all my good stuff. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have much stuff laid up, good stuff for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. He lost his focus. He lost sight, number one, of where his good stuff came from, which was God. And he started hewing out his own cistern of logic. Well, now I got all this stuff. I'm good to go no matter what happens. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And here is the crux of what makes a person a fool in this life. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It wasn't that the man had a lot of good stuff. God wants to bless his people. He says in Ephesians 3:20, exceeding abundantly above all you can even ask or think. But in our blessings, he wants us to keep him first, to remember where it came from, to honor him with our stuff. As I like to say, with our servant supplies. All this stuff is temporary for our use for one reason, people. To seek the kingdom, to seek the outreach of God, to seek more children for the kingdom. That is our purpose on this planet. You don't have to go there, but 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, doesn't say gets along in the world or is an ambassador in the world, but loves this world more than God, the love of the Father's not in him. Every one of those loves, three times, is the word agape. Agape. So there's the spiritual battle. God wants to give us an abundant life. Satan wants us to forget where it came from. And he wants us to become fearful. And he wants us to consume it upon our lusts rather than realizing we can freely share what we have because God's supply never runs out. But the point I want to get to here today is if we don't believe God now when times are good, if times get really tough, you hear where I'm going with this? How are you going to learn to go to God for protection if you're not practicing the presence of God now? If you're not honoring the Lord with your life and with your stuff and with your time now? There is a spiritual battle going on for who is first in our heart. Satan would be having the things of this world first in your heart. Oh, I got to get on the hamster wheel. I got to work. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to make my living. Whereas God says in Matthew 6 and Luke 7 and other places, if we will seek him first, he will add all that stuff that we need to us while keeping him first, while seeking him first. In Matthew 11:12, a very familiar verse, and from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Well, wouldn't you say, every time a bunch of believers start taking a stand on the word, the devil comes against it? Absolutely. This is not rocket science. This is in the Bible. And the violent, that's a different word for violence. I don't have the Greek words, but it means the energetic. Take it back by force. In other words, we have to seize our crown. We have to seize our brain cells. We have to seize carpe diem, seize the day, how we think, to keep God first all day. Are we really Christians? Do we really follow Christ? Or is it just a nice bumper sticker? Is it a nice thing that we have on our license plate or a cross we wear around our neck? You know what's interesting? You know, this means you've got to seize your crown. You've got to seize your inheritance. It's interesting that we love reading the stories about the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 and all through the Old Testament, in the Gospels, in the book of Acts. And what we don't realize is that you and I are Acts 29. We are the Bible heroes of today. We are the Moses and the Marys and the Esthers and the Abrahams and the Pauls of today. If you want to know where those heroes of faith are, honey, all you got to do is walk in your bathroom and look in the mirror. None of those people felt like it. All of those people were reluctant leaders, with the exception of Jesus. They were reluctant leaders, but they did what God called them to do because they truly put God first in their heart and daily living. So the fact that we've always had to fight for the kingdom of God is not a news flash. But first and foremost, the fight is in our own heart and life for us to believe. And secondly, it's in culture, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, Yahweh. If as a nation, the majority of the people worship other gods, it says in Judges 5 and 6, there's going to be war in the gates. This is not new. So how do we counter that? We openly live like Christians. We live the word. We're examples. We speak for Christ. And you can tell where our culture is by how we are treating Christ in our culture today. Just recently, about a month ago, in Charleston, South Carolina, 9 beautiful Christians were shot in a Bible study in South Carolina in a beautiful church by a madman. Did our government, our president, say anything about this attack on Christians? No! They made it a political socialist agenda about gun control and made it about race. Honey, this was a spiritual battle. They are after Christians, the demons. They don't care about the unbeliever. The unbeliever's not going to make the culture better. We're going to make the culture better. We're going to change it back for the better. Last week in Oregon, another madman came into a college, had people line up against a wall, asked them point blank, "Are you a Christian?" If they said yes, he shot them in the head. If they said no, he shot them in the leg. Have you heard one word about this being about the persecution of Christians? That tells you where our country is today and why we need to energetically take it back. I was so blessed when Dr. Ben Carson went on his Facebook page and replaced his, whatever you call it, that little square at the top of your page, with a meme that was a hashtag that said, I am a Christian. I always love I am because that's who God is. I am a Christian. Hashtag, I am a Christian. We are in a war today for our religious freedom, for our political freedom, for our blessings and liberty that are enumerated in the Constitution and especially the Bill of Rights. We're in a war for our country, but most of all, we're in a war for the souls of men and women, especially our children, who are being bombarded with paganistic, secularistic junk every day. And people, the words of the Bible are leaping off the page. The words of the Bible are leaping off the page. We are living the words of the Bible in our lifetime. But I say to each and every one of you, just like Esther, are you not called for such a time as this? She had almost no truth of the Word of God. She was a captive in Babylon. You and I have the Bible. We have great teachings. We have the day of Pentecost having come. We have the New Testament, the New Covenant. We have 9 manifestations. And yet with all this power, because of the evil day in which we live and people not standing for God, today Christians are being slaughtered, raped, burned, crucified, put into sex slavery all over the Middle East. And our government says, meh, nothing. They even go out of their way to keep persecuted Christians out of this nation while letting the drug mules and the sex traffickers across the borders, no problem, people. This is your day to rise up. Hashtag, I am a Christian. Barack Obama said last week that gay rights are more important than religious freedom. In our country right now, all Christian freedoms are under attack. Oh, if you're Muslim, okay, you're okay with that. That's all right. Because in our public schools, God, Jesus, and the Bible are what? Banned. If your kid even has a Bible verse in a paragraph, a page they write, a lot of times a teacher's going to throw it out. Secularism is a cancer in our nation, and it is the new state religion being pushed down our throats. You better find out what your kids are learning in school, because God, Jesus, and the Bible are banned while the 5 pillars of Islam are taught. I just posted something today about this happening in schools all over the country. I've talked to 2 or 3 teachers who have said, yes, this has been happening for 5 or 6 years, and the parents are doing nothing about it. Islam is being taught in school. They're being taken many times to the whatever place they go to pray. They're being taught to bow before Allah. Are we surprised? Barack Obama said on page 261 of The Audacity of Hope, if anybody had bothered to look into this godless secularist before they elected him, he said out of his mouth, quote, I will stand with the Muslims should the political wind shift in an ugly direction. He said, quote, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam, for goodness sakes. You know what it means to slander the prophet of Islam? It means not to agree with all the tenets of the Quran. And what do they say on the heels of that? Death to the infidels, people who don't believe in the Quran. That's you and me, people. Let me just shake it up a little bit. Listen, I have nothing against Muslims. My belief is you have the right and the free will to believe anything you want to believe. If you want to wear a mohawk, pierce everything in your body, color yourself purple, and say that we're ruled by beings from another planet, I don't care. You have the free will to believe that. Just don't tell me I have to agree with that. And I have a big problem with anyone who wants to put me in jail or kill me for not believing the way they believe. You know, even George Bush said, hey, Yahweh and Allah, they're the same God. No, they're not. Allah was the name of Baal before Muhammad came around. Maybe you've read about Baal in the Old Testament. Allah was the top God with 360 other little gods in the pantheon beneath him. So please don't tell me Yahweh is Allah, because they're not the same. Yahweh is not Baal. Baal is not Yahweh. Matter of fact, I remember some prophet going up on a mountain with 450 prophets of Baal. And they cried all day for their God to set the sacrifice on fire. And all old Elijah did was come up and say quietly, in the name of the true God, we know that you're the Lord. And whoop, the fire came down from heaven, and all the people said, oh, now we say, the Lord, he's God, the Lord, he's God, the Lord, he's God. People, what's at stake is your freedom to serve the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Pope came here last week or a couple weeks ago. You know what the Pope says now? You don't even have to believe in God to be saved. Good works will do the trick. He said, this is the number one religious leader of one of the biggest church movements on the globe. He said out of his own mouth, the number one problem in the world today, not the annihilation of Christians in the Middle East, not the religious freedoms being lost in the United States, not the annihilation of Christians and churches and schools by people coming in with guns and shooting Christians in the head. Oh no, he said the number one problem in the world today, are you ready for this? Global warming. People, last time I looked, global warming was not taking away my rights. Last time I looked, global warming, there wasn't a tree in the forest telling me I had to bow down and worship them. But you see, physical war, and they're ginning up for World War III as we speak. The idiots in Washington are ginning up to try to go to war with Russia over Syria as we speak. Physical war is always preceded by propaganda. What do you hear on the news? Propaganda, socialism, progressivism, godlessness, anti-God, 99.9% of news, media, movies, television, internet is anti-God. And according to what Barack Obama himself has written in his own books, our own government is at war with its own people. You know, we're not shooting guns at each other, but they are shooting and pouring out lies and hypocrisy and trying to elevate devilish lifestyles. You know what a slave is? A slave is when one person is the property of another and they're forced to obey them. I had someone silly enough to say the other day, well, only black people have ever been slaves. I guess they've never read the book, history. There were white slaves in Europe. There are white slaves from Ireland and America. There are Arabic slaves. There are slaves of every nationality, always have been. Nobody has a corner on this. Right now, America is entering into a mass slavery because the government is now making themselves our new God. They read your mail, your email. They tap your phone. They're getting ready. They're doing everything they can to make it illegal. Are you ready for this? Illegal to disagree with the government. I think there's a little something called the First Amendment there. They are telling MDs, medical doctors, I just heard this yesterday from a woman who went to her doctor, they're now telling medical doctors, the government is telling the medical doctors how much medication they can prescribe to their patients. They have set themselves up as God. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, let's look at that one real quick. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, it says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the tribulation, the return of Christ, shall not come except there come a apostasia, a falling away. Means that the truth is known, but the people are turning their backs on it. The people in mass are turning their backs on the truth. That's what that word means, apostasia. A falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I'm not sitting here saying Barack Obama is God, but I'm telling you, they're warming up. They're warming up for the Antichrist. They are dumbing the people down. They're doing everything they can to get people to turn away from the true God and their commitment to God and turn unto them as God, the beast, the Antichrist, which will be a mean God, a Baal God that requires human sacrifice, a tyrannical God of Satanism and oppression. And of all the world religions, the radical Muslims are the worst because ISIS is trying to establish a caliphate where all the world would have to come under Sharia law, and every infidel must what? Die. But you know the difference between ISIS and the followers of Jesus today? And it pains me to say this. They are dead wrong, but they are fully committed. They are dead wrong, but they are fully committed. They are ready to die for their belief. Honey, most Christians aren't even ready to live openly for their belief. There is a war on Christianity, and it is in the gates. Judges tells us why, because we've worshiped other gods. In the Second World War, women took over the factories. I don't have all the statistics, man, but boy, when they took over, they produced the ammo, they produced the battleships, they produced the airplanes. They did things they thought they could never do. And men put their lives on the line and did things they thought they could never do because they saw that their freedom was at stake. They did so many heroic acts, we call them the greatest generation. Why? Because they fought for their freedom. Honey, we are in just as big a war today, but it's more stealthy. It's more hidden. It's the wearing down of what we believe through the propaganda that constantly comes through the airwaves, through the people we work with, and us being too afraid to stand up and say, "That's crazy." If you want some power in your life, if you want some deliverance, you need to come back to the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, because that's how you get your life back. That's how you get your family back. That's how you get your health back. That's how you help your kids. See, you know, are we doing what they did in the book of Acts? Are we being so distracted by the love of the things of this world that we're blinded while our nation is being ransacked? Ransacked. Did you know that recently in I think it was Houston, Texas, the county seat said they wanted all ministers to come and bring their sermons for the county to vet before they preached them. See, they're trying it today, but they'll be getting away with it tomorrow if we don't open our mouths and get serious about what's going on in this country. And here's a reality sandwich. In effect, we've already lost our nation. Just like the bondage of Israel and Egypt, we've already lost our freedom. We just don't realize it. We've lost our freedom, but now we can get it back. We can take it back. Do you think God listened to Moses more than He's listening to us? Let my people go. Why? That they may serve me, not man's government. Go to Acts chapter 5, please. Hey, man, it told me in Matthew 11, I got to be energetic. I got to take my rights back by energy, by putting on the whole armor of God, by walking in my God-ordained ministry of reconciliation. He gave me that, so He's equipped me to do it. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 17, same stuff, different day. Same stuff, different day. Boy, that Peter and John were going around healing people, and the high priest were getting very upset with envy because they didn't like people being set free. So they laid hands on them, but not to minister to them. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Verse 19. But because these apostles were prepared, they already knew how to put on the whole armor of God. The angel of the Lord, verse 19, by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go! Stand and do what? Speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. What life? Hashtag, I am a Christian. The life of Christ. The life that only Christ can bring to a dying world. He ain't finished with us yet, people. This doesn't have to be the final curtain. And you know, it wasn't like when the angel of the Lord came, God was up there going, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, who will I send the angels to deliver? Uh-uh. God is a God of principle. You know why he sent the angel of the Lord to those people in prison? Because they asked. Because they were walking in faith before they went to prison. Gosh, this stuff is just pure gold. Go, stand, and speak in the temple. The very thing that got them thrown in prison in the first place. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. They kept doing the same thing that the government threatened them not to do. Don't think these scribes and Pharisees weren't the government. They had their own Praetorian Guard. They're the ones that threw them in prison. But they weren't worried because they trusted God to be their shield and buckler. They trusted God to deliver them in their evil day. And the scribes and the Pharisees found out they were gone and they were all freaked out again and said, and the guards came back and said, whoa, you know those cats you put in prison, they're out doing the same thing you put them in prison for. So they brought them back and said in 28, did not we straightway command you that you should not teach in the name, in this name, Jesus? Exactly what this county seat in Texas tried to do. We're going to command you not to teach the Bible. It doesn't agree with our political correctness. You've got to change your believing because it may offend somebody. People, I'm only worried about offending one, and that is God. I don't care whether I offend people till the days the cows come in. I don't want to offend you. I might in this teaching. I love you. But honey, I care about offending God and not man. I love men. I don't condemn people for their lifestyle, but get out of my face and don't tell me what I can say. Please and thank you. You are free to live your life and I am free to live mine. Hallelujah. But they said, oh, don't teach in the name of Jesus because you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Oh my gosh, I love that. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, it was upon him. They're the ones that had him crucified. And they're the ones trying to crucify him afresh today. And then Peter and the other apostles. You know what word that is? Homo thumadon. Homo means the same. Thumadon means thumos, passion of heart. That's what I want to share with you today. My passion to stand for God no matter what the government says. And they said in one mind and one heart, yeah, baby, here it is. We ought to obey God rather than men. And then they went and they witnessed to the men that wanted to put them in prison. And verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. People, if we as a Christian church will rise up and do that in heaven, we will be called the greatest generation, or certainly among the greatest generations. Because this kind of censorship isn't coming to America, it's here in America. It's been in our schools for decades. It is in our military big time, trying to shut down all the pastors from talking about Jesus, stop prayer, even on the front lines. In our courthouses, honey, it's here. And are you the person that will count, that will rejoice that you are counted worthy to suffer shame for his name? I am, baby. Put it on my forehead, put it on my hands, put it on my clothes, but most of all, put it on my lifestyle. I stand for Jesus Christ. Hashtag, I am Christian. I am Christian. And I'm not a weekend warrior, baby. It's 24/7 for me. And we are in a war for the heart and soul of the world, but especially in America, because if America falls, the rest has already fallen. And our morals have decayed so bad in this country in the last 20 years, it's just pornographic to turn on even TV commercials anymore. You know what I love about this? Honey, it's the book of Acts. It is the book of Acts, A-C-T-S, in Acts that were inspired by Holy Spirit, and they did it. They did it. It's not the book of thoughts. It's not the book of good intentions. And because they did what the Lord said, the Word of God moved over all of the known world, Asia Minor, in 3 years and 6 months, hasn't been duplicated in this day. Why? You know what? Statistically, it only takes 3% of a vocal minority to change a culture. If we will band together like the community organizers have for this other junk they've been preaching, this humanism, this progressivism, this socialism, basically Satanism cloaked with a lot of nice name tags, we can take our culture back, just like Moses did. You know, I'm reading this, the book of Acts, chapter 5, and God told me to ask you, you, hearing this today, He told me to ask you, what would you have done in their place? He told me to ask you. Nobody answered. That's a rhetorical question. I don't want to hear the answer. What would you have done in their place? People in the mid-70s, I lived in times similar to what we're going through now. They were knocking on doors and putting us in jail for having home Bible fellowships. Every night I had a fellowship. I never knew if a knock would come at my door and they would arrest all of us for me teaching the Bible in my home. And you know what I did? I kept right on teaching it. The government was allowing thugs to kidnap and deprogram people that didn't agree with the general Christian theology, kidnap them, tie them up, brainwash them with absolutely no legal consequences. All of this happened under another socialist president named Jimmy Carter. And you know what I did during that time? I continued to move the Word. And the people I knew continued to move the Word even more energetically. And we had from 1980 for a while, relative peace in our country. I have been battle tested. I know what I would do. I've been there, done that. I've brought back the T-shirt. We are in times even worse, but we can take it back for our children's future. I know it. It's in the Word. I believe it. Our times are in His hands, and His hands will honor our believing, just like His hands honored sending angels to get Peter and John out of prison because they believed God and stood for God in the midst of persecution. I mean, people, if you can't stand and talk about Jesus and suffer a little shame for speaking in His name now, what are you going to do if they ask you to accept the mark of the beast? In Revelation 14, 9 through 11. In Revelation 6, 2, don't have time to go read all that. But honey, if you don't take the mark of the beast when it comes, you're not going to be allowed to buy or sell anything. You're going to be cut off from the support of the world's systems, the secular system, and have to rely totally on God for your food, for your safety, for your lack of persecution, to hide you under the shadow of His wings. You know, my job is not to coddle you. My job is to prepare you and to tell you that we are in the heat of the battle, whether you recognize it or not. That doesn't make it untrue. We are in the heat of the battle, and the future of your kids' liberties and freedoms as a people and as a nation really depend on you. They depend on you. Hashtag, I'm a Christian. And that's exactly why we're here. To come into the family of God, to be born again into the family of God, and to tell other people about God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know why I can tell you all this negative stuff and I believe that you're big enough to take it? Is because one attribute of the renewed mind is you're not going to hide your head in the sand. But when you really have the renewed mind and you trust God, you can take in negative ideas without a sense of defeat and frustration. You can hear this stuff, you can process it, and you take it to God. Because the last time I read the Bible, it says we're supposed to deal with the adversary. That we're supposed to deal with Satan and his minions. Not ignore him, not put our head in the sand and act like everything's okay. As long as we think happy thoughts, the world's not going to go to hell in a handbasket. No, it's a little bit more required than that. And God has one goal for all mankind in Mark 8:36. His goal for everybody is, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own what? Soul. And you and I are the soul keepers. We are the ones who can bring men and women to God to give their souls eternal life, to the salvation of their soul. It's not the unbelievers who are going to make this world a better place, honey. They're destroying it as fast as they can. We are the ones who will change the world and bring our nation back to God. You and I are the hope for a better future, not the bought and paid for politicians who serve the adversary. You know, I wanted to take you to Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. You can read it later. But you know, there's that record of a man who went to a far country and he left all of his goods with those who served him. You know who that's talking about? Jesus. He left his power with us. He said we're supposed to take his place on this earth. And please don't give me this stuff about Jesus was never politically involved. He was politically involved to the hilt. Every time he came up against the scribes and Pharisees, he was taking a stand politically. At the end of his physical life here on earth, he said, remember I told you, put away your sword? I'm telling you now, if you don't have one, go buy a sword and another one. Have a backup. We're supposed to be taking his place. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, his power. And to one he gave 5 talents, and one he gave 10, another he gave 1, and he told them to occupy till I come. Occupy. You know what? That is a war term. To occupy the land. To be the predominant thought force in a land. But we do it through love. We do it through joy. We do it through obedience. We do it by healing people. We do it by being non-judgmental. Honey, I'm not judging anybody today. I'm just telling those people, don't try to tell me how to think. That I can judge from the Word and judge righteously. But it says when he comes back, he's going to say, hey, what did you do with the stuff I gave you while I was physically gone? Did you bury your talent? And it says that he's going to cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was not happy with the guy that didn't do anything for him. You know, I get it. I'm like you. I love the teachings where we talk about God's blessings. God can do this for us. God can do that for us. 900 promises, health, prosperity, joy, peace, all this great stuff. But people, this is a teaching about serving him. This is a teaching about doing what Jesus asked us to do before he left, to occupy until he comes. Because you know what? Life is not all fun and games. Life is about commitment. Life is about action. Life is about doing what God asks us to do while we have breath in our body to do it. Look at Romans 13, please. Romans 13. Romans 13. Great verse of scripture here. You know, we sometimes say, well, you know, life is busier today in the first century. Really? They had to make their own food. They had to clean their own house without electricity. They had a shorter day than us. When they went to the bathroom, they had little chamber pots they had to carry somewhere and empty. They had to go to the well and get their water. You know what the truth of the matter is? If we don't let the shiny things of the world trick us into getting on the hamster wheel, we have more leisure time than people have ever had in their whole life. But we've been tricked into thinking we don't. The question is, what are we doing with it? Are we taking our leisure time and filling it up with television, internet, baseball, football, soccer, working out? I mean, those are all worthy endeavors. I'm not trying to be the Grinch who stole Christmas. But do we do all things and stick God in a corner and then feel kind of good about ourselves because we eke out an hour here and there for Him, or maybe pray for 15 minutes and maybe, you know, we can joyfully, if we really renew our mind, joyfully give back 10% to Him of what He has already given to us? You know, I thought about abundant sharing the other day, and I thought, you know, those poor people that don't trust God with their 10% and more abundant sharing, if they can't trust God with something as simple as money, how are they ever going to trust God not to have their head chopped off when the beast comes along? People, you don't clean your gun when you're in the, you know, when the enemy's coming at your front door. You work at having faith now. You build faith in your life now. You build the habit of trusting God now. You know, and Satan doesn't care if he gets you to lie or murder or cheat or steal. You go, well, I'm not doing any of that stuff. Let me tell you something. Satan is perfectly happy just to get you not to think about God, to ignore God, preferably for days on end, to get you on the hamster wheel of busy, 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 and not do that which really matters. Do what Jesus asked us to do by filling us with power and asking us to occupy and to represent Him when? Until He comes back. He even put a time limit on it. It says in Romans 13, love works no ill to his neighbor. So all these people that are working ill in my life, they're not loving me. I don't have to do what they say. They're not the boss of me. I'm not trying to harm anybody. I just want to love God. And love is the fulfilling of the law. Verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake up, wake up, wake up out of your slumber. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. People, the fever is white hot of the adversary trying to take over this nation, this world. And by goodness, if you want your kids to have a free country, if you want to serve, even more important than that, excuse me, Lord, I repent for that being my priority. If you want to serve the one true God and did what Jesus said, and a blessing that would accompany that would be your kids having a freedom in their future, then we have to realize the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, which the politically correct people want you to do. They want you to think that's the way of life. Not in chamber and wantonness, every rotten thing you can think of to do to other people. Not in strife and envying, verse 14. But, hashtag, I am a Christian. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough to see that your husband or your wife or your kids are doing it. You got to do it. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Why? Because if you're putting on Christ, He's going to give you what you need for your flesh. He says it over and over and over. And this is my job, people. I am sounding the trumpet louder than ever before. The world is standing like on the, it is like a green pea on the edge of a razor blade. It can go either way. And it is my job to be the watchman. It is my job to prepare you, not to coddle you. My job is to lead you into all truth, because only the truth sets you free. put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Live openly like a Christian. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of peace. Speak out boldly and in love. Yes, with a gentle heart, not with a hammer, but with a gentle heart, with the milk of the word to those babies out there about the God who has so blessed your life. Because he says in Matthew 7, 24 and following, that if you do that, you're like that man who built your house upon a rock. And when the winds and the waves come, you are not going to fall because you will be under the Lord's protection. You will have learned how to live under the Lord's protection. You will be the wise man who built your house on the rock, Jesus Christ. Are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman? Are you building daily your trust in the Lord? Then you're going to finish strong. You won't be ashamed of the gospel of peace. You'll kick it into high gear when it's necessary. Because 1 Samuel 14:6 says, listen to this. This is the verse I want to leave you with. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. He isn't restrained by the big numbers. He isn't restrained by us having the majority. But it does take a few. And a vocal 3% in this country can change our culture. The first century church did it, and we can do it too because we are Acts 29. We are carrying on for our master until he comes back to get us. Hashtag, I am a Christian. Baby, finish strong. Don't forget why you're here. It isn't about the stuff. It's about glorifying your Father who is in heaven. That's your purpose. That's His plan. And we have only one life to live and give for Him. Baby, I don't want to die having the approval of the world. I want to die having the approval of my Lord. That's the main thing. Don't just say a Christian. Hashtag be a Christian. Live the Christian life. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of peace. And let's unleash the power of God and see what kind of revival our grandchildren are talking about us unleashing in our great generation. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power and the majesty and the glory that you have. There is no power on this earth that can withstand you when your people believe. When we learn how to listen to you and obey you and walk with you. And Father, I thank you that we can take this world back. Another revival, another great awakening for some period of time, just like they did in the first century church, through the power of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. You're the best.